Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for your word. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word to have been made complete so that I could place it in my hands and know you more effectively. Father, I thank you for the ability of the power of your word to separate the voice of my outer man from my inner man. Oh, Father, how precious it is. And Father, I ask this morning that you do the best that you can do in my thinking, my mind, to deliver the word in such a way that they would get it like I got it from you. We know that natural knowledge comes easy, but revelation doesn't. We have a tendency to understand the higher things of God with our natural mind, but it leaves out a deeper meaning to your existence for many of us. So, Father, guide my lips today. Guide my mouth and guide your people's ears to hear. Between two, the hearing and the speaking can come forth much light in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In Matthew 22, go to verse 34. With every bit of more light that comes to my life, I feel more restricted. I'll explain to you what I mean by that. But I want us to look at something in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, I want us to go to that verse 34 and I want us to begin to read. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, I thought it was very interesting in verse 34, it's really comical. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, so the lawyer must have been a Sadducee that was asking the question. Sorry, that was my humor, evidently. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Something came alive into me when I first started reading that. It really opened up the book of 1 John to me. You know, with every bit of light that comes to you, you'll find that your outer man is more restricted than ever. He can't do what he wants to do because the responsibility of the gospel, when it comes clear to you, you are not left to your own self. You have to then turn and be obedient to what the light requires of us. The first thing the light requires of us is to remove the darkness that is in you. And it's funny that how restrictive that can be when your flesh wants its way. And with more light, he's expelled with every bit of it that comes. Notice what he says here. He says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your what? Underline the word heart. He says, with all your soul, underline the word soul. And then, underline the word mind. So we've got to love the Lord And notice, not with part of us, but with all of us. Ouch. And how do we love Him with all of us? Well, first of all, the Word of God has to reach our heart. It has to connect with who we are in our heart. Then the next thing it says, that it has to connect with all of our soul, the way we think. When we talk about the mind being renewed, that is an important subject. Because it means the processes of the way that you think has to be changed. And in order for you to love God with your soul, by the way, that word is psuche. It's the same one Jesus used over in Matthew chapter 16. How do we love Him with all of our psuche, soul, lower region of our thinking? By putting it to death. You have to put to death your carnal thinking in order to be able to love God with that mind, that soul. And then He says, with all your mind, your soul, and with all your mind. And that covers pretty much the completeness of where the kingdom of God counts the most. And then He goes on to say, this is the first and great commandment, but the second is like it. That's very interesting, because in the Greek it's the word homos. And it's literally saying the second commandment requires the same thing the first commandment requires. The second commandment is requiring of you what the first commandment was. When you get over into 1 John, the commandments He talks about, you'll find it saying commandment, and you'll find it saying commandments. It's speaking of the one commandment, which was true in Jesus. Then when the word commandment takes on plurality, more than one, commandments, it's referring to the second commandment, which is in us. So what is He really saying here? He's literally saying here, and this is how I used to think this scripture, because I couldn't figure out how to put the word like it with myself. So I just interpreted, well, what it must mean is that I cannot love my neighbor until I learn how to love myself. That is the best way I could explain it to you. Because I couldn't get the word like it to fit the first commandment. Until I prayed this mystery up before the Lord, and it was just here recently that it lit off in me, so impacting that I was beside myself. Have you ever heard somebody say they were beside themselves? That's the best term I could use for words. And the Lord said, that's not what I was saying. He's saying, as yourself, meaning the responsibility that you had to put forward to the first commandment is the same responsibility you have to put forth in the second commandment. Now, I knew this, but I didn't know it. And I says, to love my neighbor with my whole heart, with my natural soul and my understanding, I'm to love my neighbor the same? He says, you got it. He wasn't talking about me learning to love myself in order to love my neighbor. He was saying that the second commandment is just like the first commandment, but we're removing God and we're putting in there the name neighbor. And they're co-equal. Have you ever had conviction? Do you know people can bring you conviction? And God can bring you conviction. I notice that when God convicts you of something, it's mostly for the benefit of your neighbor. It's a spot I was standing in. Let's change spots here. You mean to tell me that they wanted to justify themselves by saying, "Who is my neighbor?" And did you know when you go back into the Old Testament, you're not going to find those two commandments there. I know I went back and checked it out for myself. Because I heard this from another minister, and I went back and checked it out for myself, and I found out he was right. There is no two commandments mentioned in the Old Testament. There are ten. But I found where the two is found in the ten. The first four is how to love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and all your understanding. It's found in the first commandment, how to love God. It's the next six commandments is how to pour out your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole understanding in your neighbor. The next six commandments. There's where you find the two. In the four with God and the six with your neighbor. I'm going to tell you something. If you love yourself in order to love your neighbor, you'll never love him like you love God. It will not compute. It's impossible. Now, are you ready for this? We are to love others with the same love that is like our love for God. In fact, we only truly love God as we walk in that same love towards our brethren. Now, isn't that hard to grasp with your thinking? You want to know why it's hard to grasp? Because God, you can't see, and your neighbor, you can. And the God you can't see, you can see no darkness in him. But your neighbor, you can. You can't see God participating with sin. Oh, but your neighbor, you can see him sin. So what do you do when you're in that position? You judge them. Ouch. My wife, I hate to cop out on myself, but I'll take communion. Last night my wife told me, "How could you do that?" And you know what she said? "I'm going to pray for you." So I went and did what she said not to do in my little rebellion. And God comes all over me and says, "If you know the love of God, you wouldn't be here." So I went home. Now, I wasn't going out and sinning. But I was doing something in an area that my wife did not approve of. I approved of it because my conscience did not convict me. Right away. But did you know what this means? This is spelling something out. It's spelling something out I don't like to hear. So with that in mind, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. I love the Word of God, but it sure is hard on my flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, We're going to look at some verses here that really hits home to what I was just explaining to you. Notice verse 13. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Ooh, I hate that verse. When I have the understanding of it, it just drives me in the natural crazy. Because he said, for the love, say the love of Christ. You know what that word for love is? Agape. This love is a very interesting love. It means someone who will love in spite of someone else. Remember when we were talking about redemption last Sunday? And when Christ has redeemed us from something, that we should no longer live to ourselves, but to Him who was raised from the dead. That's where the love of God constrains or constricts them. The apostle that was writing the epistle. Constrict. You know what the word constricted means? A lot of people don't understand what that word means. It means to compress something, to hold securely together. To compress something, to hold it securely together. It literally means what keeps something from being lost. In other words, it gathers it together and holds on to it. It seizes it. So that it's not lost. I grab a hold of something and I seize it. It's in my grasp. Now I'm responsible for holding on to it. Y'all looking at me. So the point? Well, the case that I'm trying to build towards you is what the second commandment is like from the first one. You cannot have a conviction of God in your heart with everything that you are towards Him without God not seeing to it. He builds in you a love that is co-equal to that giving of yourself to Him for your neighbor. That's why tonight we're going to cover the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And what people don't understand is that most of us, we want to marry out of gratification of the outer man. But where Paul's discernment comes in is the gratification that you look at from the outer man has to be subdued first through the inner man. So he goes on to say here, very powerful words. He says, for the love of Christ has constrained us because we've come to this judgment that if one died for all, then all died. Now, think about the movie of the Passion. Think about it. I went and put it in and wanted to relook at it. And boy, I'm telling you, that is a powerful, powerful movie. I don't care how bloody it is, it gets the point across. And I have heard in the foyer of a movie studio, I heard this one lady leading a gangbanger to the Lord off of that movie. Because all she could say is, why would he do that for me? How could he do that for me? It boggled his imagination. Why would he do that? Because mankind has a right to their own eternal destiny. And when you think of anyone going to hell because they rejected God, it was through the outer darkness that that decision was made. Because your outer darkness is the physical man of your own reasoning. And God has to bring you into His kingdom through a man's spirit, so that he could be free from what the body has been declared on the cross, having been put to death. And so when I was looking at that movie, the thing that impacted me so hard is what I taught you one Wednesday night through illustration of people coming up here. We were dealing with the body of flesh and how many people do not understand how important it is to know about the body of your flesh. It is more deceptive than Satan himself, because the Word of God describes a position that Satan is held in. He's held in death and separation from God and then defeated. And the only way he can gain any access to my life is to use the medium of the body of my flesh and my carnal mind. He has to come through that to get to me spiritually. And he can do it. Amen. How? If you are a carnal believer. That's how. That's why I told the Lord one time, why don't we grow? Why don't we grow if we have such tremendous insight? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you have to change the responsibility of your doctrine, because carnal believers will not grasp it. I was sharing with two young ladies, and I just wanted the concept of what they understood, because I knew they were Christians. And I said, what does it mean for you to be saved? And they told me everything that had nothing to do with their salvation. It was all about centered around a church, all around water baptism, all around church things. You know, we're in for a challenge by His Word. We're in for a challenge. We have to preach what salvation really means. Salvation begins with your death and living His resurrection life. That is the basic principle of salvation. And every one of us are to seek it out for ourselves. We are not to seek it out through something else or a means of something else. We have to seek it out for ourselves. It means that in order for us to know God and His love, we have to pursue Him, not with complacency and indifference, but we have to pursue Him with everything that is in our heart and in our mind. And in our understanding. No wonder Paul said, if you want to hook up with somebody, you better find out where they are spiritually. Because if you hook up with them and they're living more out of their flesh than their spirit, that is what you inherit. And then when the rubber meets the road where one wants to live one way and the other one wants to live the other, then we have to come up with answers through Scripture how to get them to get along. And Paul's discernment was this. You've got to put God first in your life so that there is no distraction there. So the benefit of the marriage would be greater than marrying somebody under law. It is impossible to love God more than people. Because it is the same kind of love that when we are born of God, we have His nature, which is the core nature of our Heavenly Father. God does not have love. He is love. And here's what people don't understand about their God. And I found it in 1 John when I studied that book. The word knowledge or know. The whole book is predicated on who really comes to know Him and who knows about Him. And those who know about Him cannot have an approved relationship till they come to know Him. There's a difference. You can't know about God and think you're going to walk in the Spirit. You got to know Him. And for the person He is, to even understand His Word. But I'm going to tell you what. I thank God I have that heart. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm going to tell you what. I'm just giving you the constricting place God puts me in. I am pursuing Him with my whole heart and my whole mind and everything that I understand about the kingdom of God. I'm pursuing that. Amen. I don't know about where y'all going to go. But that's where I'm going. Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We are not without excuse. We have a responsibility to let that love in us grow. There's where 1 John is so ingenious. Because that book literally tells us how the love of God grows in us. Our spirits have been freed from our body that carries the nature of death in it, that carries the carnal mind in it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:8 that the love never fails. But these gifts were given while we are being taught how to walk in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. Prophecies, tongues are not going to be our guidance in heaven, but love is going to be with us when we get to heaven. Because the Word of God says love never fails, ceases, or comes to an end. Love crosses over between this life and the next. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to walk in this love. It's crazy. God wants us to walk in it now. It's a commandment. It's authoritative prescription. That's what the word commandment means. To give an authority of a subscription. Like when you go to a doctor and he gives you a prescription. It's an authority that you take it. Are you following what I'm saying? That's what the word commandment really falls under. An authoritative prescription. It's a commandment. It means you are to do it. And the only thing that would stop you is your body, your flesh. And excuses come with flesh. God, when you're walking with Him, eradicates them. He gets rid of them, so you have none. Why? Hebrews 12. If we allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate that love in us, failure will become a thing of the past with our Heavenly Father and our neighbor. That's why 1 John is so powerful. It tells us how we mature in love for our fellowship to be complete in its joy. And I'm going to tell you, some believers that you walk with, it's flat miserable to be around them. Amen. Then where's the joy of our fellowship? Because one is willing to love God with their whole heart and their whole soul and their whole understanding. But the one they walk with, and then going. You know what? As your pastor, up until about, when that 1 John started coming alive to me, my thinking was wacko in a lot of areas. Matter of fact, I was contemplating out of ministry. You know, you all know that. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what really challenged you to change the way you think? Not your relationship with somebody. It's your fellowship with them. That's why Romans 12 1 through 15:7 has nothing to do with your mind being renewed to a relationship you have with God. Not one scripture has to do with your relationship with God or man. It has everything to do with your fellowship with God and man. How you rub elbows together. That will show you what you're made of.
Hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I don't have a problem with that. You know why? Because that's not up to you. It was up to God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, whether you like it or not. I can, you know what? Whether you can or not, I can do all things through Christ. Don't tell me I'm an old sinner saved by grace. I devour them bumper stickers. I was once an old sinner. If it ain't that way no more. Boy, where's my white horse? For the love of Christ concerns us. Because we just judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. You know what that means? And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on. Therefore, from now on. Translators use the word regard. It is not the word regard. Although that can apply. But it really is the word knowledge, to know. From now on, some of you might have your translations that says that. From now on, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but Him who died for them again. Therefore, from now on, we literally know no one according to the flesh. We know no one according to the flesh? That's right. What kind of statement is that? You know, when I got born again, I knew everybody I knew before I got born again, according to the flesh. Well, what if I got up after getting born again, and I turned around and my wife was sitting next to me, and I looked at her and says, I don't know you anymore. She'd look at me like, what are you saying? Of course I know them. You know, when you get to heaven, we're even going to know those who lived here, there. And guess what? They won't be the same. They'll be glorified from what they were here. So we'll recognize them. But here He says, from now on, we are no longer to know anyone according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, you know what that word for known there? It is not the same word that we are not to know anyone according to the flesh. Well, then we have to understand these words. The first know, that we are from now on to no longer have any regard for them according to the flesh, is the Greek word oida, which literally means a knowledge that literally is predicated on its existence by past issues. It means a knowledge that you're fully aware of. Or it suggests fullness of knowledge. It means that you know something about somebody that you're to no longer know them according to. You know what struck me really funny to break a mystery over in Matthew 24 about Jesus' return? You know what He said about the nation of Israel that was presently living at His return? He said, I never knew you. You know what the word that is? Oida. I never had a relationship with you. I never knew you. Do you know what that did to me? How can you say that? You conceived the nation to the loins of Abraham. And how can you say you never had a relationship with Him? He was talking about the generation that rejected Jesus. He was never able to get into their life and become a part of it. So therefore, when He comes, they never knew Him. They don't make it. Only the remnant out of the nation makes it. Then they'll come under King David for rule. Don't tell me your flesh isn't powerful to keep you out of light. It is crazy. And so He says here, you should no longer regard anyone that you previously knew after the flesh. Why? Well, first of all, Jesus put Him to death on the cross.
So your neighbor actually has a witness or a testimony of their past existence. It's found on the cross. And you know why we don't see it that way? Because every time we look at the cross, we see Jesus hanging there. We don't see the reason for Jesus to be hung there. When you get a revelation that you were on that cross, the love that you will have for your Savior will grow deeper. Because when I was looking at the Passion and saw His mother scoop up His blood with that towel, I began to weep. And God spoke to my heart right watching that movie and said this. When they put Him on the cross, they beat Him. And that movie did such a wonderful job. And Jesus says, you look at it and you see a love that you have for me, but really it's my love that I had for you. He said, now when I look at on this side of the cross, He says, my joy is complete that I did that to you physically. Boy, doesn't that do a turn on your thinking? Now I have to look at that cross from His vantage point. I see me on there. That's right. And boy, what an honor you do your Savior by seeing you on the cross, not Him. That settles the next statement. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him no longer. The second nose that you look at there, they are the word gnosko, which literally means a knowledge that you're presently taking in. It's a word for fellowship. It's a word for having a fellowship with somebody that increases or decreases. But it's a relational word. It literally means having fellowship with somebody. And He declares who the victims are that you are no longer to have fellowship with. And He puts Christ there. Now that boggled my imagination. But what He was saying is even though you knew Christ after the flesh, you're no longer to have that fellowship after the flesh. You are now to have the fellowship beyond the cross. Our fellowship is now resurrection power and love. Wow. If you love God, you will love your brother also. I can't stand so-and-so. That's the point. It's so much easier. I want you to get a hold of this. You might as well write this down. It's so much easier to love God whom you can't see than to love somebody with that same love whom you can see. Oh, who said that? John. Can you imagine what it would be like for us to pursue God with everything within us, and then God, in that pursuing, puts that same love in our heart for our neighbor? Do you think we'd have any problems in our midst? You know what we'd be doing a lot of? Overlooking a whole lot of darkness. You know what would be overlooking? The chip that's in somebody else's eye. Why? Because we're removing the darkness that's in ours. That's the log. Hey, I can see you all differently. Now, does that mean that somebody else's chip, we're not to no longer notice it? No. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, He said, until the darkness is removed from you, you can't go and help the Amen. Chip that's in somebody else's head.
Amen.
You know, as a pastor, when people
treat you a specific way. I had to learn as a pastor to cast that thinking down. I cannot see you according to the flesh, because then I will judge you. I have to see the Word for what it is saying and give it to you, and you work out your own salvation. People come to me and say, Pastor, I know what you think of me because I did this and that. And I says, no, I noticed that you did it, but forget it. It's gone. And you know what? The devil will try to come back and plague you with what they did. That you are challenged with what they did. And you know what you have to do? You have to keep casting that sucker down. Because your natural man wants to, oh, I'd like to grab them in the face. Oh! Isn't that true?
Let him go. Turn the other cheek.
Sometimes I don't want to turn the other cheek except by my fist in their face. And let their neck snap to reality. But it just don't work that way. Boy, it frees you up when you know that you can love them like God loved them. That's why Jesus said what He said. Father, that You show them that You love them just as much as I have loved You. Because Jesus' whole existence is the fact that He could love God with His whole heart, His whole mind, His whole understanding. And that's why He could give Himself to you the same way.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what. You go bring judgment on somebody else's mistakes, you better make sure Jesus is in the midst before you start that binding and loosening. Jesus says, I better be there with you. And if I'm not there with you, you have no right to judge anybody. Now, we're going to close, and we're going to have some communion. And next Sunday, we're going in to the book of 1 John, and I'm going to show you that book without going sentence by sentence, scripture by scripture. I'm going to go to you by subject and theme so that you will get it. Boy, I feel so justified. I'll tell you why I feel so justified. Because I know now I can no longer point my finger at you for where you fall short. That so frees me up. I'm free. Woo! I'm free! In spite of you all nasty people. I'm not just kidding. I'm free. I'm free. You know what excuses are? It's an excuse is when you look at somebody else's fault to justify the position that you take against them. You know what that's called?
Nyeh.
That buzzer. Nyeh. But guess what? That will constrain you. Don't tell me what I think of you. Don't you dare do that. Don't do that. Why? Because if I'm responsible to clean up the way I think about you, then don't go speaking it back on me. Well, we'll stop there. We got another Sunday. John said, hey, can you do that in 2 Sundays? By faith, I'm believing that I've received that ability. Did you guys get something here this morning? I love you so much, Father. I do love you, Father. But if I love you the way I say I do, am I giving my whole heart to you? Am I giving my soul to you? Am I giving my entire understanding to you? Well, people, I'm just like Paul. I can say, not really, but I'm sure trying. I'm trying my best to forget those things that are behind, so I can press towards the mark, the prize of high calling in Christ Jesus, for which I've been apprehended for. He wasn't talking about ministry there, people.
People, there are a lot of ministers that interpret that as speaking about ministry. But what he was talking about there is he says, I reflect back on my life. And I thank God that he had separated me from my mother's womb and putting me faithfully into the ministry, that I could press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And when he said he was separated from his mother's womb, doesn't mean that the call was put on him while he was yet in the womb of his mother. He was saying, I was born a Jew and I had to literally be separated from that nation in order for me to serve Jesus as a new creature in Christ Jesus. My own his own family put him to death. We don't acknowledge you no more, Paul. He was separated from his homeborn nation so that he could call upon his risen Lord. Oh, I love Jesus. What he has done for us. Oh, so great of a salvation. How can we neglect it? We got to be crazy. Stand up, everybody. Jesus, I thank you that you're challenging me to put you as the preeminence in my life. I know it's constrictive in my thinking, Lord, but I can't run from it. I have to keep running to it, even at my own hurt. Father, I can no longer look back to the old person that I was for anything. But I can only move forward to the new person I am in you. I can't even look to Jesus after my flesh or how I understood him after the flesh. But my fellowship with him has to be different now. It has to be according to the resurrected Lord. People, I want to tell you something. I thank God he's given me more understanding of the original language in which our Bible was written in. The word holy, hagios, everybody say it, holy. Holy, holy. What about the word sanctify? Say it with me, sanctify. Sanctified. I've been sanctified. Now the word saint. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. I'm a saint. Now, are you ready for this? Why I love that original language so well. It clarifies what I know. The word holy, the word sanctified, and the word saint come all off the same root word, family. Family. Meaning, you can't be holy. You can't be sanctified. Who? You can't be called a saint unless you're a part of the family. They have no meaning. They have nothing to do with what we are according to the flesh. But what Jesus did for us according to our inner man, we are family. Hallelujah. Father, as everyone stands at attention, Father, I know that all of them brought their heart to a check and used the communion as an opportunity to cleanse themselves so they can remain intact with the body of Christ and not be subject to what the world is condemned with. Father, far be it for any of us as believers to be judged with the world while we're living supposedly for you. Father, work in the hearts of every one of your wonderful people this morning. And if there's anybody that needs prayer for physical healing afterwards, which the communion elements could have taken care of. If you need to be born again, then please come forward when we release the service. If you're new and a visitor or for the first time, we have a hospitality room in the back we want to encourage you to go to. If you've been here just visiting and have a question about the message, feel free to go back there. And so now as we dismiss, may God be your greatest victory today. in your walk with each other. God bless you. Goodbye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.